The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The final hour of the show is the Armada Agenda. It is whatever you want to talk about. It is whatever you want to get to. It is whatever subjects, topics, people, whatever that you want to discuss. It belongs to you, as it does every Friday from 9 until 10 o'clock in the morning for the final hour of the show. How do you get your topic, your person, your subject, whatever, your take on the show? We're not. I'm going to tell you. Here's how you do it. Number one, you text the show on the Hub City Spartan Burger text line at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You text that number, it shows right up on my computer screen. I read it on the air. The second option also involves that phone number. You call that number, 844-326-3663. You call that number, we will take your call. You get to make some incredible small talk with the great one, Lonzo. There's nothing he loves more. And then we put you on the air, and you can share your take, whether it is hot or good or bad. You can share it with the world. 844-326-3663 is that number. The third way you can get in touch with the radio program is to shoot me a tweet or an Instagram DM. You do that by utilizing my social media handle at The Rob Brown Show. And the folks that follow me will attest, gotten a little more active on the social over the last couple of weeks, clipping out segments of the radio broadcast, giving you some takes off to the side. Follow me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet me, you can DM me, whatever you want to do at The Rob Brown Show. The fourth way that you can get in touch with the radio program is to check us out on our live stream. You can go to Facebook, search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show. You can go to YouTube, search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show. You can go to Twitch, search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show. Or you can go to YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook and search and subscribe to The Fan Upstate. We broadcast all 4 hours of the show live, all 5 days of the week, unless we're not here. And I will let you know a little bit early in advance, we will be off next Thursday and Friday. As mentioned, I am sorry that you're about to become a football widow until February parting gift to my lovely bride. We are headed over to Charleston, South Carolina next weekend. The sister-in-law is having a baby. And we are going over there to help out, make sure they're good, but also completely use that as an excuse to go sit on Folly Beach, hit up a couple of dive bars, have a couple of Mai Tais on the sand, and relax and enjoy before college football starts up the weekend after that. So we're off next Thursday and Friday, but you got us until then, and the show streams live every one of those days. The Fan Upstate on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We have been all over the place talking about a whole bunch of stuff. We've got some comments on the chat. Raul's in the chat. He said the Browns have agreed to retire Sanders' number after he fails to make the practice squad. I'm real interested in what Shedeur Sanders looks like tonight. Genuinely. I am genuinely intrigued because, number one, as mentioned, with the exception of J.C. Horn and any other developments between here and 7 o'clock tonight, his first start under center in the NFL is against an NFL number one defense.
See, and this is why I didn't talk when Rashad was on, because the question I would have asked, and I didn't want to be negative, is what if Shedeur comes out and carves up that defense? Does it mean that people were wrong about Shedeur, or that this defense still needs a lot of work?
Well,
or could it be both?
You know the stance that I take, which is, and this is something I think is missing in most of sports communication, the context of the situation is going to matter. I mean, if Shedeur comes out and runs wild on you, brother, then we'll just have to look. It's just going to matter on what it looks like. There is a reality in which we come back on Monday and we go, holy crap, 31 other teams are going to regret that they passed on Shedeur Sanders. There is a reality that we come back on Monday and we go, holy crap, Shedeur Sanders really isn't that good. And everybody was right that passed on him until the fifth round. There is a reality that we show up and we go, you know, Shedeur didn't look bad, but the Panthers' defense was stellar. And there is a reality in which we show up on Monday and we say, Shador's not that good, and the Panthers let him go bananas. I think we got to watch the game. I think we got to find out. James just had the take, quote, one fan base will panic. Which one will it be? We'll see.
I mean, it will be easy to dismiss it as, yeah, it's preseason. It's not that big of a deal. Cleveland started Shedeur to prove that they needed to get rid of him. There's no other reason to put him out there other than the fact that you're not going to put Flacco out there because he's 40 and Kenny Pickett's injured. And, I mean, so is Dylan Gabriel, right? So he's out there because he has to be. And
I mean, I would make the argument that over the weekend or early this week, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, was doing a post-practice Jerry Jones style conference, and somebody said, like, what do you expect to see? What do you want to see out of your draft pick? And he was like, that's not my draft pick. That was Andrew Berry's draft pick, the GM. That's his pick. He wanted him. I said go bananas. That's not my pick. Like he ran to separate himself from the draft pick of Shedeur Sanders. And
so,
I get it.
So if Shedeur goes out there and he does really well, he can't take credit for it.
No, but what he can do is take credit for having Andrew Berry as the GM. That's why I hired that guy.
Okay.
He
All
saw
right.
something I didn't see. Listen, it's a great political move from Jimmy Haslam, because Jimmy Haslam is, rightfully so, taking a bunch of crap for what the Browns are. They had Baker Mayfield. They got to the playoffs, and then he blew all that up because what? Baker was too much fun. Can't have that in C-Town. So he blew the whole thing up, and they've been bad again ever since, which is why when Joe Flacco gets the nod, or I should say when Dylan Gabriel or Tyler Huntley or Shedeur Sanders or blah, 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 Kenny Pickett, whatever one of those guys starts, that is going to be the 137th different starting quarterback the Browns have had in the last 10 years, right? So I think it's a shrewd political move from Jimmy Haslam, because if it goes great, he can take credit for Andrew Berry. That's my guy. That's why he's still here, because he saw that and nobody else did, and he got us that guy at a value in round 5. But if he sucks, he can go, that's Andrew Berry's fault. I'm a good owner. See, I'm doing great. I wouldn't have drafted that guy if I'd have been in charge, right? Like, that's basically what it comes down to. So I think it's a shrewd move from Jimmy Haslam. I did wonder, and, you know, I if there's one thing about Shedeur Sanders that especially after the draft I think we can all agree on, it is I don't think we have to worry about the confidence of Shedeur Sanders. I think Shador's confidence level is going to be just fine. But I did wonder, I was like, if the owner comes out before that kid takes a snap and says, not my draft pick, not my circus, not my clowns, could that impact him? Could he go, wait a minute, my owner doesn't believe in me? The guy signing the paycheck, he didn't believe in me? Like, does that impact Shedeur? I don't think the answer is yeah. I think Shedeur, and by the way, I will give credit to Shedeur Sanders, because while you can believe it's a work or not, honestly, I think Shedeur Sanders has handled the preseason, the offseason, really well. After the draft, where he took a lot of crap, like a lot of crap, during the actual preseason, rookie training camp, or rookie minicamp, training camp, now into the preseason, he's been good. A handful of days ago, Deion came out, Coach Prime came out, and said in a podcast interview, Shedeur called me and said, don't come here. Don't come to practice. Don't come to games. Don't be here, because That's going to be a big time distraction that I don't need while I'm trying to earn a job. And then they asked Shador in an interview, why'd you tell your dad not to show up? That's Deion Sanders, man. Like, nobody says no to Deion. Why'd you say don't show here? And Shador said, I haven't earned the right to be that distraction. I'm third on the depth chart. I got to prove that I'm worthy of being on the team before I start saying, hey, y'all make special accommodations for my Hall of Fame father. I think he's done a good job handling the preseason. And in a weird way for a dude that I beat up on as much as anybody else, in a weird way, I'm kind of pulling for the guy.
Well, and I think part of that, me too, I think part of that is the narrative has been written on social media. So people go at him and they say all these things, and there's a limited amount of practice that people are allowed to see. So you really don't know how he's going to play in an NFL game until tonight. And that's the thing. Once we see what happens tonight, then you can find out if that narrative is correct or not. And if he's got the ability to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess in a way, gently to some degree push back, because I do think sometimes that we, myself included, I think that we label when other people have an opinion, thought, belief, position that is different than ours. I think sometimes we all tend to say, oh, that's the narrative, as opposed to, hey, you have a genuine thought about this, Kat. Right, and I think a lot of people have a genuine
thought.
Has
the narrative not been written? The narrative has been written, and it's out there.
Okay, what's the narrative?
That he doesn't deserve to play in the NFL. The only reason why he's there is because of his dad got him there. There's just a bunch of things. And by the way, just as many positive things are out there that are negative, but the negative is what shows up on my feed.
I would start with, well, and this is one thing I would warn everybody to be careful of. And this is, there's a lot of drawbacks to social media, but I honestly believe the biggest drawback to social media is that it by default, like the entire point of it is to drag you into one of two circles, either an echo chamber where everything in your algorithm is designed to make you feel good about yourself. Because if you feel good about yourself, if you get that dopamine hit, you're coming back for more. The goal of Twitter is not to keep you entertained, educated, enlightened. The goal of Twitter is to make sure you log back into Twitter so they can put more ads in front of you. And there's two ways to do that, and it just depends on who you are. Way number one is to surround you with thoughts that reflect your own so that you go, hey, man, I feel like a big smart boy when I'm on Twitter. I'm going to log back in for that dopamine hit. Or the exact opposite, which is what my algorithm is, which is an algorithm that is entirely designed to you off all the time because rage keeps you coming back for more. You want to know why hot takes exist in sports talk radio? I'll give you the answer. Because you react to them. Either you jump in line and you go, it's an out-of-the-box take and it's a great take. Or you go, that guy's a big giant jackass and he doesn't deserve a microphone and I'm going to listen so that I can rage at him. The extreme emotions are what keep you coming back for more. And so, depending on how you react to either echo chamber or rage bait is what your social media is going to show you. So, for me, the majority of the takes about Shador Sanders that I come across are very much, this guy's not going to be that good. He's going to be a bust. He's going to be a wash. Everything at Colorado was designed by Deion to protect and enhance him. And I'll be honest, like, I had the take too. I think Shador Sanders.
By the way,
how's
that any different than any other quarterback?
It's not. And I guess that for me is, after having that, I'll say, realization, revelation, whatever you want to call it, because I had the take going into the draft. My take was, I don't know that Shador Sanders, without Travis Henry, that's a different guy, without Travis Hunter, I don't know that Shador is going to be that same guy, because how many freak of nature, only that guy can do it plays did we see out of Travis Hunter last year? The answer is enough to win him the gosh darn Heisman Trophy, right? So, my take going into the draft was, I think he's probably an NFL talent, but not a guy who's going to show up and be C.J. Stroud in his first year. Not a guy who's going to show up and as a rook make it feel like, oh, this franchise is on the way. I think he's going to show up. I think he's going to be on the roster. I think he's probably going to be a guy who is a number two backup quarterback. I think he'll get his shot down the line. And the question mark will be, did he develop enough in the time between leaving Colorado and QB1 start number one that he becomes an NFL quarterback that can be a guy who guides a franchise to success? And I don't know that he's ever going to be elite, but I think he's a freak athlete.
He's in a good situation, even though people don't think so. There's no way Flacco plays the entire season. And so game three or four, one of those guys is going to take over. So he's what better place, if he's getting a fair shake competition-wise, to go to have an actual shot and not have to play the first couple games because you know that's going to be Flacco, be able to work your way in as far as the speed of the game and everything else. It's going to be him or Dylan Gabriel that's going to play the majority of the season.
You hit on a take that I agree with. The take
don't act surprised.
No, I'm not at all. I'm gonna set it up a different way though, because I think we have the same take, but I'm setting it up a different way. I think the reason the Browns drafted Shador is not because they necessarily drafted Shador going, this guy's a franchise changer. I think they drafted Shador because they went, our situation's perfect to find out if he is, right? Because we know we got Flacco. We know that Flacco's gonna be our guy. Out of the gate, he's our number one. And we all know Joe Flacco at 40 years of age. That's a bridge quarterback. That's not a guy they think's bringing him to the Super Bowl. That's a bridge guy. And on top of that, by getting Dylan Gabriel, they've done two things. Number one, they've created a world where the pressure is not on. There's no pressure on Shador Sanders. The only pressure for Shador is, can you make the roster? And in order to make the roster, the pressure is, can you beat out Kenny Pickett? That's the question. It's not, can you beat out Dylan Gabriel? It's, can you beat out Kenny Pickett? And then the question is, can you be QB2 so that when it's time to move over on from Joe Flacco, either because he's 40 and he gets hurt or because we get to the end of this year, we don't go to the playoffs and Joe Flacco's on his way out. Now next year we get we got a job open. Can you be ready for that? And in order to do that, you got to beat out Dylan Gabriel, who is a rookie quarterback that was drafted in the third round, but I also am going to say a rookie quarterback who had more critique, who had a lack of belief from the rest of the media as much as anybody else.
Dylan Gabriel was on a bigger stage, too.
It's also true. Quarterbacking a team that expected to go to a national championship. So I think the situation was perfect for Shador. I think that, however, tonight's very interesting because this is rushed. This was not expected. Shador getting the nod tonight in preseason game number one for Cleveland was not expected. And because it was unexpected, and because of what I think is a good decision from Dave Canales, we're going to play our starters for a full half. Anybody who's 100% healthy is going for a full half. Shador's going to get an opportunity tonight. And if he comes out there and he lights it up on fire, maybe he jumps ahead of where he was supposed to be in week one. But if he comes out tonight and he stinks, do we go the Panther defense crushed him? Or do we go he just stinks? And that's on Kevin Stefanski to figure out, not me. But we will break it down on Monday. All right, when we come back, I have had it requested during the Armada Agenda Hour to wrap up a Friday to talk some college football. Let's do that. ESPN put out their tier list of college football teams. Let's talk about where your team falls on it and what that means going into the 2025 season. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. The final hour of the show, the Armada Agenda. Anything that you want to get to, anything that you want to talk about, up for grabs. We had a couple requests, as we have talked quite a bit of NFL football today. We've had a couple of requests to talk a little college football in the final hour of the show, so let's do just that. ESPN has taken all 136 FBS football teams, and they have ranked them by tier. Those tiers are cream of the crop, yeah, teams that are hot, Big Ten's ticking clocks, and then they stopped rhyming, which kind of aggravates me a little bit. Room for improvement and could be talked into them are some of the picks. Here's the tier list.
Also, I thought it was by SEC.
No.
Okay.
No, it is Big Ten. Where they stand in relation to everybody else of the 138
FBS. So I
thought
the ACC was the bottom thing. So.
And also it's not.
Okay. All right.
And I'll also just, it's not. Right. By the way, I promised I was going to do a segment today. I want you to know, because I took the text from Buckeye Mike personally, at the end of the day, I'm putting numbers there. I might make a chart. That's how serious
please.
I am. We may have.
We don't need. I mean, one was enough. It was unique. It was iconic. We don't need it because then it becomes commonplace. And once it becomes commonplace, no one looks at it. So why do it again?
Because numbers. It might be Make a Chart Monday on Monday. That might be the new thing. Make a Chart Monday. New segment. We do charts on the show. Mike, I'm coming with numbers on Monday. All right. Stay tuned. That turns into a project that I'm like, I'm going to need the weekend. All right. Here we go. From ESPN, Tier 1A, a great matchup for the championship game. They said we're taking our two favorite teams, our two frontline contenders, the two teams we believe are going to the title game, and they get a 1A tier all to themselves. The two teams they put in Tier 1A, the top two teams in the country, Lonzo, are?
Ohio State and Texas.
That is exactly the top two teams that they put there. They point out Ohio State coming off of the Natty. They put out the fact that Texas drives Lamborghinis onto the field to sell to recruits. They've got the dollar bills.
Do they really? Lamborghinis?
Yeah, Steve Sarkisian took a bunch of crap at SEC Media Days because he did the whole, we're not about money at Texas. We don't guarantee you anything until you come to Texas. And then somebody at SEC Media Days quite literally pulled up the video of a recruitment day at Texas when recruits were showing up to take the tour in Austin, Texas. And there were like a dozen Ferraris and Lamborghinis lining the sidewalk going into the Texas football stadium. And then later on, they had more of them on the field in the stadium when the recruits were taking their stadium tour.
Seems like
maybe not, Steve.
Seems like more of a Miami thing to do.
It's a very Miami thing. You know what it is? It's a dudes who have more money than everybody else thing. It's a flex, bro. And they flexed. Tier 1B, the rest of the best. These are the other teams they consider frontline national championship contenders. Frontline national championship contenders, Georgia, Oregon, and Penn State. So those are the next three. Then they have Tier 2. So they split Tier 1 into two tiers. Their top two, and then the next four, they believe championship contenders. Tier one is comprised of Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Oregon, and Penn State. Tier two, this tier is titled Playoff Expectations. Alabama, Miami, Michigan, Notre Dame, LSU, Clemson. That's tier two.
I was wondering when their name was going to be mentioned.
I don't have a problem. Here's what I'll say about these six teams. I think they all have one thing in common with the exception of Michigan, because Michigan's got some stuff to deal with. With the exception of Michigan, I think all of these teams, anything less than a playoff appearance, will be described as a failure this year. Alabama, Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame, LSU. For those five teams, Michigan may be on the bubble. But I think certainly for those five teams, I think anything less than a playoff berth is going to be considered a failure for those teams this year. And I do not think they're all making it.
I was going to say, that should be the expectation for all those teams, though, every year.
I mean, you'd like to think so, but I would also like to say, I think that at some point, college football fans are going to realize that with the portal and with NIL, dynasties, I'm not saying there will be no more dynasties, but I think dynasties are not going to be commonplace anymore. We're not going to have a dynasty a decade like we used to. I think we're going to get to a point where you go, guys, the talent and the money spread out. Like, dynasties aren't a thing anymore. So this concept of the expectation of being one of the 12 for now, 16 next year, but one of the 12 best teams or 16 best teams in football annually will at some point go away.
Well, when does that come into play again, thinking of dynasties? A team's got to win it two years in a row, right?
I would say, honestly, I would say that's the start.
Yeah.
I would say that's the start.
When's the last time that happened?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably Alabama.
Tier number three. And this is where it gets interesting. And granted, you can make the argument that this is some conference propaganda. Tier three. The tier is titled, quoting directly from ESPN, someone in the SEC has to lose some games. The tier is Florida, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. Honestly, I don't have an issue with that. Now, here's where we are going to get into what I think could genuinely be the primary conference v. conference SEC versus everybody else discussion of the offseason, despite the fact that there are only 20 days left in the offseason. According to If You Trust Them preseason metrics, all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference rank amongst the 20 hardest schedules in the country. Now, there is the counter argument, which is, well, if you just say that everybody in the conference is one of the best teams, and you use circular logic that if everybody in the conference is amongst the best teams and everybody in the conference plays everybody in the conference, then that leads you to the circular logic that, yeah, everybody's schedule is the toughest. If you started without the assumption that teams in the SEC are just by default good, then the schedules would not work out that way. Here's the argument that I would make. You guys that have been with the show for the 5 months that we've been doing it, you know that during the duration of the show, I have never, toes in the sand, full chest, never been SEC means more guy. Never been that guy. In fact, I would make the argument that I've been the opposite. I've been the guy that has chopped the legs out from under the Southeastern Conference. Hey, you're good, but you're not like nobody else deserves to exist good.
And the Big Ten, while propping up the ACC, I'm just going to be that. It just seems that way.
I don't think I've propped up the ACC. I've said for years.
Hence what you're going to have to do over the weekend, your research.
Oh, no, for sure. Listen, I think the ACC is better than. I don't think the ACC is good. I just think it's better than you're giving it credit for or anybody else is. And I'll try to argue that on Monday and we'll see if I do a good job or not. Here's what I'll say. As somebody who is never in three...
You're killing me. Because every time you're leaving the hesitation there,
well,
you know you want to do...
This time has a good reason. It's because I'm
doing
math in my head.
Ever. That's what I've been waiting for.
Ever.
And I haven't heard it.
In 4 weeks, Rob Brown will have been in the radio game for 18 years. In 4 weeks, I'll be in 18 years. And in 18 years, not only have I never been SEC guy... Most of that time, I've been anti-SEC guy, pushed back against the SEC guy. I am telling you this year, and I mean this, I think this year is the best SEC year ever. I think it ever.
Wow.
I think it's the best SEC year of all time. And that is why in other years, this would have driven me up a wall and back down it. This year, I'm like, I got no problem because I've said I'm in on DJ Lagway. Brent Venables went and got an offensive coordinator and got out of the way of the offense. Defensively, they were very good last year. I think they may have fixed it. Lane Kiffin, absolute wild card. He's the joker of college football. South Carolina with Lenora Sellers. I got a bet on him to win the Heisman. Tennessee, quarterback issue, quarterback question. If they solve it, they got talent. Texas A&M under Mike Elko, love the Colt. I mean, I love the Colt, but I love their football team this year. I don't have a problem with that. Tier four, are there playoff surprises? Arizona State, Boise State, Indiana, SMU. Tier five, teams that are, and I quote, so hot right now. Illinois, Louisville, Texas Tech, Utah. I like two of those. I like Burt at Illinois, and I love Millard Moss, Jeff Brohm, and the Louisville Cardinal. One of the reasons I've said you're not giving the ACC enough credit is because I believe Louisville's going to have a say. Another tier, flying beneath the radar like Tom Cruise. Is that a Top Gun reference? Georgia Tech, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Washington. I've been saying Georgia Tech is another team that says to me, y'all aren't giving the ACC enough credit this year because Brent Key and the Tech are dogs this year, and I think they're going to upset some folks. I like Kansas a lot. And if you're counting out P.J. Fleck and the Golden Gophers, you're cruising for a bruising, pal. I'd watch out for that team, too. So there you go. There's some thoughts. There's some tears from ESPN. Who's too high? Who's too low? You asked for college football. You got college football. I expect a response for college football. You drive the final segment of the Armada Agenda when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo. And you, rounding out the day, rounding out the week of broadcasting. Just as a brief reminder, your boy will be live tonight on BetMGM tonight with Ryan Horvat. Make sure you tune in. It'll be the last Friday for me filling in for Brad Evans as he will be returning to his Friday night slots starting next week as football season is here. Ryan and I are going to be, for those of you especially that texted and tweeted over the past few minutes saying, give us some college football, please, Rob Brown. It's going to be a lot of college football tonight. So make sure you tune in for BetMGM tonight. Make sure you tune in for Bet for the Cycle tomorrow, noon to 4, on the BetMGM network, available for free on the Odyssey app. Sean Bell filling in for Cody Decker tomorrow on the show. We'll do a lot of baseball talk. We have a Big 12 preview tomorrow. We have an NFC South preview tomorrow. So if you're a Panthers fan, I invite you to grab the Odyssey app, AUDACY, Heart the Fan Upstate, and the BetMGM network, and tune in from noon to 4 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow because myself and Sean Bell will be running over the NFC South, including an extended look at the Carolina Panthers. So make sure you tuned in for all of the words that I will be saying for 8 more hours between here and 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Talking NFL, talking college football, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Real quick, earlier on the show, we talked a little bit about Dabo. If you missed the conversation, the context is effectively this. On Monday, Chris Lowe, who covers college football for ESPN, put up a profile on the Clemson Tigers heading into 2025. I thought the profile was not just pretty good. I also thought that the profile was, as far as preseason college football profiles go, I thought it was kind of glowing, to be honest with you. He had a lot of nice things to say about Cade Klubnik. He had a lot of nice things to say about the wide receivers, about Dabo. He had quotes from other high-profile dudes and dudettes. Bill Belichick had nice things to say. Jimbo Fisher had nice things to say, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of that article, Chris Lowe had a quote from Dabo Swinney. The quote was, and I quote, quote, I've had one, I said quote too many times, I've had one undefeated team.
Yeah, so now what's the quote? Was quote, quote?
Here's the quote. Quote, quote, I've had one undefeated team. In 2018, we were the first 15-0 team in the history of major college football ever, and I think we're going to be the first 16-0 team. It's a race to do that, end quote. The article ends with, again, I think a complimentary line, quote, and a race Sweeney plans to keep on running his way. And a lot of the article is the discussion about how, over the past couple of years, there have been many a person, myself included, I will own it when I say it, that have said the Dabo Swinney way is not going to work in the new age of college football. And here we are going into 2025 with the Clemson Tigers, one of the four shortest betting odds to win the national championship. If Dabo wins a national championship, then it is proof positive more than anything else that, yeah, we were wrong and he was right. And I'm cool. I'm good with that. In fact, I'm very interested in that because the more philosophies and strategies and approaches to college football, the more varied college football is, the better it is, right? So I read that yesterday. I was like, all right. And then this morning, I came across a clip from a press conference held yesterday by Dabo Swinney down at Clemson. And somebody said, you know, this person said that you said that this team's going 16-0 this year. And Dabo said, and I'm not going to play the clip again because it's like 2.5 minutes long. It was a bit of a rant, but you're welcome to go find it if you want. But Dabo basically said that the article, and Zoe, I will ask you to be the ombudsman here. If I say anything that is unfair or an inaccurate portrayal or representation of what Dabo Swinney said, please stop me and I shall correct it. But Dabo said it was clickbait. He said that the quote was taken dramatically out of context. And then he said that he didn't read it. He didn't know where it came from, which I also find that interesting. But okay, cool. Dabo does 1,000 interviews a day. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But he said that he believes that that quote and that article came from somebody who is just trying to get more attention drawn to his article and to his Twitter account, end quote. It's Chris Lowe from ESPN. The guy's been covering college football for ESPN for at least a dozen years that I know of, because I used to have him on my show back in the day when I was on down in Florida. I think Chris Lowe is a very good writer. I think he has been as down the middle as anybody else that I've read repeatedly for years. And so the takeaway from that for me was, I don't get this from Dabo. I don't get it. But also I do. It is an extension of the woe is us, poor little old Clemson motif, agenda, narrative, whatever you want to call it. And that's okay, because it's worked for you for years. Nobody looks at that tiger paw and thinks, my goodness, I'm so proud of them. What a tiny little impoverished, underprivileged school that just keeps on little engine their way to relevance. You're not that. You're a powerhouse in college football. You are a powerhouse with resources and money and a fan base and yada, yada, yada. You're not a poor little old us school. But this is just the extension of that. And it's worked. It's worked just fine. Keep doing it. Even if I don't like it, and I do think it is to some degree unfair, because a lot of people are going to react and act based on what you say as the head coach, and listen, now you're going to have them piling on this guy unnecessarily.
I bet a bunch of Clemson fans, yeah, you tell him, Dabo. But if you listen, he said he didn't say it, but then he said he did say it. I mean, he basically said that he said it. It was like asking someone, talk about this for three minutes, but don't really say anything.
He straight up said, you know, I've never said that this team is going
on,
to go 16-0.
He says he said it.
Yeah. He said, I've never said this team's going to go 16-0. Quote, and I think we're going to be the first 16-0 team. So, I mean, if you want to hinge the whole thing on, well, I said I think we're going to be and not that we are going to be, which, as a big arguer of semantics, is correct.
Not you. No,
it never. Is correct. He did not say we are going to go 16-0. He said, I think we're going to be the first 16-0 team. All right, cool. Like, semantically, you are correct. But we all, like, just say that then. Just say that. Instead, he threw the whole thing. I don't know. Like, just the poor little old Clemson shtick.
Yeah, but he does this thing where it comes across very arrogant when he does that thing. And you talk about the good old boy thing, that goes away. And the arrogance comes out. And that's what, for the most part, I don't dislike Dabo Swinney. But when the arrogance comes out, it bothers me. Because I don't know which one's the real one. Is it the aw shucks guy or is it that guy?
I mean, honestly, I think it's both. I think it's both. And here's the response I have to that, and then we'll ask what the X is going on and call it a week. It's the shtick. And I don't think it's a shtick. I really do think in his head, like, that's who they are. Everybody's out to get us because we're different and we do it my way and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. I don't even mind that attitude. I get it. It's when you start throwing people like Chris Lowe under the bus in order to enhance that, because that dude's going to get piled on relentlessly for a couple of days for no reason. However, and here's the biggest takeaway that I want you to hear, Clemson fans. Yes, I'm critical of this moment from Dabo. Yes, I'm critical about your program in this moment. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you go out and you go 16-0 and you win the national championship, then you can call into this show in February and go, Rob Brown, tell me how my bleep tastes, and it'll be fine. That's what Shaq said back in the day. It's a great quote. If you don't do that, then expect that people are going to pile back on because of this moment. That's college football. The shtick works. You are in. The recruits are in. Nothing else matters. Relax.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Thanks, Frankie. Oh, by the way, last text, quote, Rob Brown is the worst hot take artist on radio. Nobody with a brain listens to your garbage takes. Your team, you're mad your team doesn't have a coach half as good as Dabo.
All right, they're trying to make it on that away screen. That's all they're trying to do.
I mean,
I'm going to get my quote on the away screen. Good for you, Clemson fan. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark Xing, I'm going to assume it is because last night Caitlin Clark missed her ninth consecutive game for the Indiana Fever. The Fever got blown out by the Phoenix Mercury. Alyssa Thomas with her third consecutive double-double, 19 in the career. The next highest WNBA player has four. But I also think that while that is happening, it's also being piled on right now that Paige Beckers might be having a better rookie year than Caitlin Clark had. And Caitlin Clark had a good rookie year. Paige Beckers is a baller right now. And people are kind of starting to point out, maybe Paige is a better player.
All right. So that's not why. Nancy Lieberman and Jeff Teague.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Where Nancy said you had a mediocre career at best, talking to Jeff Teague. And now a lot of people are talking about that.
Long story
making
short.
Making comparisons.
Yeah, Jeff Teague said Caitlin Clark's a good player, not a great player. And honestly, like, I saw that and I'm like, hey, I'm not even going to push back against that. But since then, a lot of people have dunked on Jeff Teague, who was a good player, not a great player. Like, who are you to say that? This is, in a weird way, I'm going to defend Jeff Teague because I don't think you need to be an elite basketball player to say that someone else is or is not. We don't do it the other way around. Nobody goes, Kobe was elite, and have somebody go, you're an average player. Who the hell are you to say somebody's elite? You know what I mean? Like, we don't do it the other way around.
All right. The next thing is Xing is Robin.
As in Hood, as in Batman,
As in Batman.
Okay, got it. I got nothing.
Okay, Robin is Xing because it is out there on a bunch of different sites that Batman 2, which the script is done, the one with Robert Pattinson that's an Elseworld movie, Robin's going to be in it.
Keep it a buck. I kind of wish that Batman was in the new DC.
Yeah, a lot of people. Because I got to tell you, a lot of people do, but it just, I hope it's another unknown, and I just think that would be better.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility he might be. Here is what I'm going to say. When Robert Pattinson was the lead actor in the whole Twilight era that we all had to live through back
Sparkly.
In the day.
Sparkly.
When he showed up as the Batman, I was like, oh, God, here we go. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, so did I.
I thought he was pretty good.
By the way, for more elaboration and talk about that, make sure you tune into the Upstate Pulse tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. on 98.9 WRD.
Brother.
Also streaming live on all these platforms.
Brother.
The last thing that's Xing is Dave Bautista.
Dave Bautista. I don't know why Dave Bautista. Birthday?
All right, two things. He has been cast as the villain in the new Highlander movie, which is the Highlander reboot with Henry Cavill.
Subscribe.
I don't know if he's going to be the Kurgan. Which is Mr. Krabs, but is the original bad guy. I know Highlander was out a long time ago, but still, he's also been cast in Roadhouse too.
Oh, all in for that. Quick question. Is Dave Bautista the most successful wrestler turned actor of all time?
I think Cena's given him a run for his money. But as far as if you want to go serious actor,
just actor
maybe,
general.
He's pretty good.
I'm fine
I
with
hate
Cena.
That he's lost so much of his size, though, but...
And before anybody hits me with, it's Dwayne. No, it's not. Dwayne's the same guy in every movie except Moana.
Yeah.
Like, Moana's the only movie he's not Dwayne in. And he's not even in that. He's just his voice acting. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, let's be honest, it's your own fault. We're out. BetMGM tonight. Bet for the Cycle tomorrow. Upstate Pulse tomorrow night. The Rob Brown Show returns on Monday. Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here Monday to do it all over again, but better on The Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!